Good morning, church. It's a great joy once again to be together in the house of the Lord. We can begin by just bowing before the Lord in prayer. Then we can take on from there. Our gracious Father, our God and our King, a great joy once again to be before you, to be before your presence this morning. Oh Lord, we stand in awe that we, a sinful people, are privileged even this morning to be where you are. That you have taken upon yourself, O God, to incline yourself and come where we are, O God. To be with us, O God, to fill us with your presence. We pray, O God, that you may work in us, Heavenly Father. Yes, both to will and to do in accordance to your will. Father Lord, we pray that you may speak to us through your word, that you may open our ears and our eyes of the Spirit, that we may see the truth of Christ from the preaching of your word. Strengthen us, O Jehovah. Give us strength to continue in this journey that we are embarking on, the journey which is going to heaven. Be with us, our Savior. Bless your people. Stretch your hand that is not shortened to save. Open your ear unto us, O God, that is not dull to hear. But above all, open your mouth. Speak, O God, as your people are ready to listen. We ask all this in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We all say, Amen. Ebazalane, please open again then to Matthew chapter 8. We continue on our series of studies in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 8. And this morning we shall read from verse 1 to verse 4. The title of the message, Jesus Heals a Leper. Jesus Heals a Leper. Those who are using the Pew Bibles, it will be page 812. Actually, 813. It reads as following. When he came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof for them. May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. May he write his eternal truth upon our hearts. We were told last week that God loves us. He cares about our souls. He's a God full of love, a God who loves his people. And he has made that evident there at the cross, where the sinless Lamb of God was crucified for the sin of men. He has made that evident at the cross, where the precious Son of God gave his life for his people, where he became a gift to us, the best of heaven. As I mentioned last week, that God gave us the best of heaven. There is nothing more than that which he has given already, showing us that he loves us, giving such a gift to a sinful man, to me and to you. This morning I want to add to that, friends, and I want to tell you that not only does he care about our souls, God cares about our bodies too. He cares about us, whether we are sick or we are suffering in the body, God cares. And we shall see that as Jesus heals this man who had an incurable disease, one of the most dangerous diseases in the known world at the time of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, we know, friends, it is not the first time that the Lord Jesus Christ operates in this way. It is not the first time whereby the Lord Jesus Christ is engaged in healing ministry. We saw that in chapter number 4, the Bible tells us that he went throughout all Galilee healing all kinds of diseases and all kinds of sickness. So such a ministry, friends, was to reveal Jesus to the Jews as the Messiah who was to come into the world. The Messiah they've been waiting for, the man they were looking for who was to come into the world, has already come. His ministry of healing was a proof that the promise, the comforter, Jesus Christ himself, the redeemer of his people, had come. The man who came to heal his people from all their sickness and all their infirmities, he was among them. Therefore, our message this morning, friends, is all about Jesus' sincere feelings for this man. This man with such a horrible disease upon him. I want us to see Jesus' sincere feelings towards this man. But also, I want us to see the fact that Jesus is making a statement here of who he is. We need to see that as well. So the first thing we shall consider this morning, the plea of this leper, the leper's plea for help. I want us to see as this leper asked from the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want us to learn from that. It says in verse number 2, "And behold, a leper came to him. He knelt before him, saying, 'Lord, if you will, you can make me clean.'" One of the most visible signs of true conviction that Jesus Christ was more than a rabbi is whereby people saw it right that Jesus is worthy of worship. And that is what we see here. Especially the people who understood, friends, that you shall not worship any other god. You cannot make any image and worship that image. It may be a person, but you cannot worship anybody but the God of heaven. And when you see such a people who had such an understanding, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ, you begin to understand who this man is. And here we are told that a leper came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he worshipped him. What does that mean? He believed who this Jesus was. He knelt before the Lord Jesus Christ. He sang him praises, if you will. He believed that this is the man who comes from God. This man came to the Lord Jesus Christ knowing that this is the Son of God. He came to him with great humility and great desperation. I want you to notice this, friends. He comes to Jesus with humility and desperation. Because humility and desperation is necessary. Especially if you understand the kind of disease or the kind of sickness that this man have. Let us just for a few seconds explain what is leprosy. What was this leprosy? Leprosy was a very challenging disease, my friends. It began as liquid dots on the eyelids, and it went through and affected the whole body. The palm of your hands began to have sores. It is a disease that started and you could see in the body, it became like scales, like fish scales covering the whole body. But it did not only stop on the outside of the body. Leprosy ate its way to the tissues, down to the flesh, down to the bones. That's how difficult and dangerous this disease was. It could penetrate to the bone and marrow and ate the person who possessed the sickness. And eventually, the person began to rot while alive. Uqala ukubola, uphila, rotting while alive, and it led to death. That is the kind of predicament this man finds himself in. A person with leprosy immediately became an outcast. This man was thrown out of the village. He could just stand at the entrance of the villages. He was not supposed to be around people because his disease was very dangerous and contagious. He had to live far from common people. Actually, when somebody was coming towards a leper had to identify himself
How? He had to shout on a distance and says, leper, leper, or leprosy, leprosy, so that you know that this man has leprosy. Then you walk far away from him. So when he was screaming and says, leprosy, leprosy, or leper, or leper, he was not screaming for help, most because there was no help for him. He was just warning the people who were coming towards him that I have such a disease that will rot you alive and you will die. So this disease, friends, we can see as we read the scripture, it was a supernatural disease. Something that came into the body and it bleached the hair white. When you had hair, your hair became white like snow. It was such a supernatural disease because it came from the hands of God. There's nothing that a person ate or could eat to have leprosy. It came as a judgment upon sinners, if you will. God's judgment upon a person. It was a supernatural disease. And it could only be taken away or removed immediately by the hand of God. Such a form of judgment. That's why a person who had leprosy was regarded ceremonial unclean. In other words, he was not allowed to come to the temple and worship God. He could not sing the songs that we sing today. He could not raise his voice unto God. He could not shout with the multitude, praise be to God, hallelujah, hosanna to the one who is coming into the world. He could not do all those things. All the privilege, religious privileges, were taken away from him. He could not worship with the congregation. He was isolated from people. He was cut off from all spiritual privileges. And there was no help. No one could help him. No one could help this man or bring hope to this hopeless situation. That was leprosy, my friends. Yet before us we have a leper who never approached a person before. There is no account here that tells us that this leper approached somebody before. Yet, he approached the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw it right to come and approach this Jesus of Nazareth. This Jesus of Nazareth who seems to be different from common men. So he came to Jesus with a special but most important request. You see, when people come to Jesus, there's many things that they ask for these days when they come to Jesus. But I want you to see what this man is asking for. And the reason I'm saying so, friends, this man was an outcast, remember? He didn't have anything to eat. He was not working. He didn't have clothes. He didn't have a nice place to sleep. But when he came to the Lord Jesus Christ, what is it that he asked for? This man searched himself deep. He searched within his own heart. He asked himself, what is it that I need the most in this life? Do I need a car the most in this life? Do I need to have clothes? Do I need food? Is that the most important thing that I need in my life? He searched his heart and he found the answer. And he realized that in finding the answer, definitely I need a divine touch. Then he came to the Lord Jesus Christ and he asked, the Bible says, he says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And I want you to notice, as of great importance, just two things here. He recognized the deity of Christ. He recognized that Jesus is not from this world. Yes, he was born in this world, but this man comes from God. He calls him Lord. He recognized that Jesus is different from any other man alive. He calls him Lord. He bows before him. He worships Jesus Christ. He comes to Jesus with great humility and respect. Another thing that you must notice in this man's request, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He asked in a way that showed spiritual humility. Not just humility on the outside, but deep spiritual humility. He says, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. In other words, this leper recognized that he had no right, he had no privilege to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and demand healing. He didn't have a right, I'm going to repeat. And he didn't claim to have a privilege to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and claim his healing. or demand healing. He recognized that Jesus Christ, I think that is also very important, he recognized that Jesus Christ is not compelled to heal anybody. He's not compelled. He comes with great humility. He said, if you will, you can make me clean. This is a man who's not living in denial. People are living in denial of their conditions today. This man is not living in denial of his condition. This man is not living in denial of his helplessness. He knows that he needs help. He needs to confess his weakness before God. He needs to tell the Lord, Lord, I am not clean. He needed to point to himself. He didn't have to blame his father. He didn't have to blame his ancestors, his mother, his township. He didn't have to blame the surrounding. He says, Lord, he looked at himself. He pointed to himself. Lord, I am not clean. Make me clean. Taking responsibility of his condition. Lord, make me clean. And that is what is missing today, my friends. We are not taking responsibility for our conditions. We are not honest to ourselves, and we are not honest to God. But I think we must learn from the Apostle Peter. The Apostle Peter said to the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 5, verse 8, listen to what Peter says. Peter's opening his mouth, says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. Depart from me. What can we learn there? He says, depart from me, Lord. Sin is still reigning in my mortal body. I don't deserve anything from you. I don't deserve even to stand next to you. Depart from me, O Lord. I am an embarrassment to you. Then Jesus Christ probably smiles and says, that is the reason I came. That is the reason I came. I did not come for those who are well, but I came for those who are sick in the soul. All that you need to do is to come to me. Come to me with your heavy load. Come to me with your heavy burden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I am gently and I am lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. As long as you empty yourself, tell the Lord how incapable you are to help yourself. He emptied himself. Lord, you alone can help me. Friends, we can see here that the leper was truly seeking for help. And for that reason, he could not deny himself that opportunity, that rare opportunity of being touched by the Son of God. He did not deny himself that rare opportunity of hearing the words coming from the Lord Jesus Christ, I will be clean. He knew his unacceptable condition. He knew that he was physically unclean and spiritually unclean. Therefore, he decided to make his problem Jesus' problem. I hope you recorded that one in your own mind. He decided to make his problem Jesus' problem. How? By casting all his burdens upon him. Why? Because he cares. So friends, what am I saying? Never get used to your problem. Don't get used to your problem or your condition. You need to seek the Lord. You need to speak out. You need to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to ask him if he is willing. Ask, Lord, are you willing? And he says, I am willing. So, don't assume that you have earned a right to be taken care of just because you come to a Christian church. Don't assume that Jesus owes you something just because you have believed in him. Now you are a son or a child of God. The leper didn't say to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm a child of Abraham. I'm an Israelite. Save me or cleanse me. What did he do? He came to the Lord Jesus Christ, humbled himself. He had faith on this Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't claim any lineage to any of those people who lived in the past who pleased God. He realized that he needed to go there by himself. So, this man, he had faith on the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew that every person out there had given up on him. every man and woman, child, and every king, and every teacher, and every scribe of the world has given up on this man. No one could help him. But friends, I think we need to know that Jesus Christ will never give up on you. This man realized that the Lord Jesus Christ will not give up on him. Jesus Christ alone will not cast you when you come to him. He will not cast away those who come to him in faith, seeking for his help. Those who come to him and cry their hearts out to him, he will not cast them away. That is what the leper realized. Jesus does not cast people away. So friends, if you are suffering any sickness, if you are suffering any disease, whatever it may be, there's one thing I can tell you. I don't know what is God's will, but one thing I know, that Jesus Christ is able. Jesus Christ has the power to do so. I cannot tell whether God will heal you. I cannot tell that. There is no promise in the way that whosoever gets sick as a Christian gets healed. But trust and believe. Jesus Christ is able. He has the power to do so. He can heal your body. All that you need to do, never get tired of asking him. Ask him if he's willing to do so. Submit yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Admit your condition before the Savior. Be willing to cry out to him, heal my body, heal my broken heart. May I not be an outcast forever. May I not be an outcast forever, oh God. This man knew how to ask. This man knew who to ask from. This man knew that some will discourage him, but all that concerned him, all that was in his mind, was Jesus' mercy. And that is what we need to surround our minds with. That is the truth. Doesn't matter what people say. Doesn't matter how you feel. All that matters is the mercies of the Lord Jesus Christ. You must deny yourself. You must step up and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him for help. Like this leper. But secondly, I want you to notice in the second place, Jesus' willingness to help. Verse number 3, it reads as following. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be clean. Listen. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Here we see Jesus' compassion on the sick. Jesus' compassion on those who are needy. And friends, the truth is, no one can have compassion to anybody unless that person loves the one who is in need. I cannot have compassion to you if I don't love you. We find a Savior who's sympathetic to us. A Savior who's compassionate to our needs, to us. A Savior who will not fold his hands, who will not fold his arms and let people, his people, to suffer sickness and diseases and infirmities. He will not fold his hands. And I think that is what we see in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Let us open there together. Hebrews 4, verse 15. Let us see this sympathetic Savior that we have. This great God that is coming to this world to help us in our weakness. It says there, listen, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. In other words, we do not have somebody who's willing to help on the outside, but his heart is far from my suffering. It's like meeting somebody there at the street corner, asking for bread. You give that bread because you actually feel that the person is hungry, or you see the person is hungry. But that doesn't mean you are bleeding within your heart because of the condition of that person. Yes, you are helping, but it doesn't mean your heart is bleeding. We are saying, Lord, help. It doesn't mean so. It doesn't mean that. But here, we have a high priest who help us on the outside, But he's able to sympathize with our weakness. He's able to say, these people are unable. Then I am coming in their position. I am coming through to help them. That is the God that we serve. That we serve. A merciful Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does he care about physical suffering. He didn't only care about the physical suffering as he looked at this leper. But he also heard the cry. Two different things. He saw and he heard. He saw this vulnerable man, but he also heard the man's cry. What did he do? He stretched out his hand and he touched him. As dangerous as leprosy was, but Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. Such dangerous sickness or disease did not restrain the love of Christ to sinners. We see a Savior who is willing to lay down his life for those that he loves. A Savior who's willing to lay down his life for the needy. A sympathetic Savior. He touched him. And he said, I will be clean. And as he was doing that, he was displaying to his disciples. He was displaying his power. He was teaching his disciples that there is no human condition which could deny Jesus Christ the right to exercise his grace upon those who need his grace. No human condition stops the Lord Jesus Christ from stretching out his hand and touch those who are in need. We see a perfect display of the loving kindness and the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ. A man who is willing to comfort the outcast. People, they meet this leper by the road. They take a different path. People, they're screaming at him, don't come close to me. But here is a Savior who is willing to comfort these outcasts. A Savior who is willing to strengthen the weak and give them hope. The Lord Jesus Christ. So, although leprosy was such a horrible disease, my friends, here is the Lord Jesus Christ. He touched this man. He touched him. Why am I saying so? The Lord Jesus Christ came closer and he demanded nothing from this man. The Lord Jesus Christ did not give this man a to-do list. Go and do 1, 2, 3. Go home and bring 1, 2, 3. No, he didn't give him a to-do list. He simply strengthened this man by touching him. And he spoke words of power. He spoke words that will raise this man from his sick bed. And this man was healed. Jesus did not need to be paid, my friends. He is not selfish. And he is not self-centered. He had a personal concern for this needy man. Just as the scripture says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That is what Jesus came to do. To seek and save the lost. Here is what I need to tell you as well. Jesus healed people. And we are going to do the same. Jesus healed people. We are going to do the same. But in a manner prescribed by Scripture. Not in a manner that we see other people do. There is a manner in which the Scripture has prescribed to us. Since we are not the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not His apostles. And I can tell you, friends, no one living today is a biblical apostle who has the right, who has been given power, the very same power that was given to Paul, Peter, John, James, Andrew, and all of them. No one is the Lord Jesus Christ. No one replaces the Lord Jesus Christ. No one is an apostle. Nobody replaces any apostle. You go to a church, you find a man, he says an apostle, you run for your life. The Bible says, what is the manner? The Bible says, the elders of the church must lay on hands to those who are sick. We must lay hands to those who are sick. Not because We have given power that is superior to anybody, but we have been given the privilege to lead the people of God, as it were, into the Holy of Holies, as it were, to come before God on their behalf and seek God's help on your behalf and lay our hands upon the sick, that the sick may be well. That is the prescribed way. James chapter 5, verse 14. Listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says through James the apostle. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And I want you to notice, friends, the sick person must call the elders. The elders are not people like the sangomas or the soothsayers or the fortune tellers who just sense that there's somebody who's sick in the church. You must call. Then people say, our elders don't care about us. No, he didn't tell us. He says, you must come to the elders. Tell the elders what is troubling you. You need to speak out, my friends. You need to be responsible for your own life. You need to learn to trust God. Call the elders who will come and pray for you. The question that someone have is, but why call you, Bembe? Because you don't have the power to heal. Then why do I have to bother myself? You know what your problem is? You are in a business of trusting men than in a business of trusting God. The fact that you don't know that I prayed for somebody and you got healed, does it give you the right to think that when the elders of this church pray for somebody, doesn't get healed? I can give you a testimony of many people that we prayed for and they were healed immediately. So friends, we don't have to call and make a parade to the front. Call upon the elders. We will pray for you. And you will be touched by the hand of God. Friends, when we are afflicted, in other words, when we are afflicted with diseases and pain, He cares. When we are grieving for the loss of our loved ones, He cares. When we are confused and desperately needing leadership, He has compassion for the needy soul. When we are mistreated, He feels for us. His compassion also, it also teaches us to be good Samaritans. His compassion teaches us to be like Him, to be good Samaritans. In other words, we must also have compassion on those who are sick. We must help one another. We must pray for one another. We must provide, if necessary, for one another, for medication purposes. We must be willing to help the sick, because Jesus first taught us compassion. It was compassion that drew Jesus closer to this leper. He felt the man's pain. He felt the agony of this man's isolation from friends and family. Jesus cares. He sees this man isolated from friends and family. He sees this man isolated from religious activities. He cares about this man. He feels the agony of this man's physical distress. He feels the agony because He's God full of compassion. He feels the pain of sin's effect on sinners. The pain of sin's effect. He feels it. No one else can feel the pain that you feel, but the Lord Jesus Christ does. He feels your pain. That is why one hymn says, we used to have it in our hymn book. I don't know if we still have, since Baba Ras took charge, some hymns got lost. One hymn says, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sin and grief to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Friends, Jesus is willing. The question is, are you willing to trust Jesus? Are you willing to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you willing to approach this Savior with humbleness? Are you willing to come to Him with your great trouble and cast your burden upon Him? Are you willing to move from the crowd for your crown? Are you willing? Because He is able. He is willing to help. Thirdly, I want us to see on the third place the greatest confirmation of the power of Jesus. The greatest confirmation of the power of Jesus. Jesus has power, and there's a confirmation here. It says in verse 3 and verse 4. And Jesus stretched out His hand and touched Him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof. The first thing that we need to do here first is to solve what seems to be a problem. There is a problem there. In verse number 1 it says, a crowd followed Jesus. Do you see that in your verse, in your Bible? In verse number 1, a crowd followed Jesus. In verse number 4, see that you say nothing to anyone. There's a crowd following him, and you must see that you say nothing to anyone. So what does this mean, friends? Praise the Lord. We have got the whole canon before us. We can look at other passages of scripture and realize, how can Jesus say, tell nobody, but there's a crowd? How can that be? All right. Well, the first thing that we need to be reminded, friends, as I said before, the Gospel of Matthew that we are going through is not written chronologically. In other words, what we see here does not follow what happened before now. Yes, the healing of the leper followed the teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, but it was not immediately. There is a gap in between. Remember, there are many things that the Lord Jesus Christ did that are not written here. There are many places where he went that are not written here. Open with me to Mark chapter 1, verse 39 to 44. Here's Mark answering this. Because it's very important, before we can deal with verse number 4, to realize that actually there's a gap in between here. Mark chapter 1. Let us read. When you get home, you can also read Luke chapter 5, verse 12 to 14. It's the same text. Mark chapter 1, verse 39 to 44. Listen to what the word of God says here. And he went out through all Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and casting out all demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him and kneeling, saying to him, if you will, you can make me clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him, and he said to him, I will be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once. And he said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof. But when he went out, he began to talk freely about it. We'll deal with that a little bit later. But what I'm trying to say here, you can see that this incident doesn't happen just immediately after the teaching of the Sermon of the Mount. But it happened in the life and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I wanted you to realize that Jesus is right when he says, go tell nobody. There is no crowd around here. Another point that you need to take into consideration. The leper was not allowed to come to people. There is no crowd here. The leper would have been stoned if you come where the crowd was. There is nobody here. It is Jesus and the leper. We'll see the significance of that. So what is confirmed here in this verse is verse 3 and 4, where we just read now, that Jesus stretched out his hand and he said, I will be clean, and he commanded this man not to say anything. What is confirmed here, the purpose of these verses for us is to know that the kingdom of God has finally come. The Son of God has come. The kingdom of God has come in Christ and in power. The power that we see here as he stretches hand and commands the man is the power that can only come from the Son of God, the King of glory. The kingdom of God has come. Which is the same reason why he says, go tell the priest. Why go tell the priest? Because the priest knew that when the Son of God comes, when the Messiah comes, he will perform such great miracles that has never performed before. So the priest would have known that this is the Messiah. The Messiah has come. The kingdom of God has come in Christ and in great power. That is what we see here. But for us, we see the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ has authority over things that no man can handle. authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only did he touch, he spoke. I said it before, maybe 3 weeks ago, only the Lord Jesus Christ has power in his mouth or in his tongue. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can speak words and things begin to happen. We see the very same thing here. The authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. I will be clean. Go show yourself to the priest. Go be a living witness of my power over diseases and sicknesses. Jesus here, friends, for us to just bring it to our context. Jesus here is not saying to this man, go, you are healed. Although the man is looking himself, he sees scales and his hair is still white and he still have wounds. Go, you are healed. Just trust, just believe, have faith. Go speak words of life in your life. He's not saying that. He does not say you are healed, but maybe throughout the week, if you have faith, your healing will materialize eventually. No. He's not saying, keep believing in me, you will be fine. He says, you are healed. I know you know those words from other circles. Speak life to your situation, and by faith it will be done unto you. Of course, that is the charismatic garbage. Jesus is not saying that here. Immediately it happened. Jesus is the healer, my friends. No man is a healer, but the Lord Jesus Christ. He speaks things and things happen. There's authority here. Not only do we see power, we see, as I said before, this is the Son of God. Why am I mentioning that? Nothing is impossible with the Son of God. You can have men who will fail you. The Son of God will never fail his people. Nothing is impossible. The Son of God heals every disease. You can write your list if you want. He heals it according to his will. Another thing you need to see here is the power, like I said, of Jesus. But power. Why am I mentioning the word power again? Because today we are surrounded by power display. Jesus' ministry was not about power display. It was about the word of God. Remember, what is it that caused the people to follow Jesus from chapter number 7? We read before. When they heard his word, they were greatly amazed. When they heard what came from his mouth, they followed him, saying, this man is different than the Pharisees and the scribes. Jesus did not do miracles for power display. Power display is today's strategies from the pit of hell practiced by the false teachers who want to prey on vulnerable people who are also ignorant of the truth. Power display is not Christianity, my friend. Jesus had nothing to do with power display. Jesus did not use his power to have people follow him, but his ways. That's very important. Power display has nothing to do with building the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ built his church through his word. If you go home, we don't have enough time. If you go home, read Numbers chapter 12 verse 9 to 15. What is happening in Numbers 12 verse 9 to 15? We are told of a man with the name of Naaman. This man had leprosy himself. Listen to what happened to Naaman. Naaman had leprosy, and the prophet of God, a man who represented God, not God, a man who represented God, yes, filled with the power of God, told Naaman to go wash himself in the river 7 times. He could only wash himself 7 times before he was cleansed. Jesus spoke a word and it happened immediately. And the Bible says he's the same today, same yesterday, same forever. There is no up and down coming to churches and be prayed for and go back and be prayed for. If Jesus wills, he makes you clean at once. That doesn't mean you must not pray always. But if Jesus will, he makes you clean at once. Yes, you must knock at that door until that door is open. But do not become subject to this false notion out there that you must always go to this pastor or this prophet. He's got power. If he had power, he would have healed you at once.
Jesus has power. He heals at once. He speaks words and immediately things are done. He is willing, my friends. He is willing to help you. He is willing to help help those who have no power to help themselves. He is powerful, but is also merciful. That is why his healing was not for sale. You go to any church, even this church, whereby healing is for sale, run for your life. Jesus' healing was not for sale. He also commanded his disciples not to ask for money when they heal people. If I claim I can heal people, why take money? Jesus' healing is not for sale. If you go, you have somebody who says he's got power, but that power is for sale. That power is without the mercy of God. It is not from God. But let us move on quickly. I wanted to mention that, is it not amazing, friends, that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to do miracles and wonders caused Jesus enemies. It caused him enemies. But today we are being told that apparent power is what is necessary to fill the churches. But apparent power today only fills the churches with goats who eat plastics during the week, and on Sunday they want to just eat a little few leaves just to be alive. Apparent power only empowers goats to eat more plastics. There is no weight. What am I saying? We have people with power, but no weight, and people continue to live sinful lives. Then only on Sunday they want to shine and sing hallelujah, praise the Lord. That is not the power of Jesus. The power of Jesus changes things. He says, see that you tell no one, but I will. It is done unto you. Friends, in verse number 4, I want you to notice Jesus charged this leper. What does it mean? Let's go see that you tell no one. Show yourself to the priest. What does it mean? We're coming to an end now. We should respond with obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing, we must respond with obedience. I read for you in Mark chapter number 1 that this leper, actually, in verse 45, he went out and he began to speak. What we must learn here, we must be obedient to the Lord Jesus Christ. Be obedient to Jesus even if you think that instruction or charge is a little. A tiny, little law of God is a big law. Be obedient to his word. That's what you need to realize here. Another thing I need to mention as I move on, you might think that healing is secret. No. Healing is not secret. Jesus was not healing this man so that the healing may be secret. Like I said, he wanted the man to be obedient, but also he knew that this healing will cause him a lot of crowd because people like power. Like today, stadiums are full because of power. So Jesus didn't want people to follow him because of miracles. He wanted people to follow him because of the weight. But this man went and tell everybody. What does chapter 1 verse 45 of Mark says? It says people began to come to Jesus. Jesus had to run away and stay in an isolated area because people are flocking to him. Jesus never used power to draw men to himself. But another reason that he didn't want this man to tell anybody, he wanted him to go straight. I mentioned this, I'm going to repeat again. He needed to go straight to the priest so that the priest may know that the kingdom of God has come. We must know the kingdom of God has come in power and in the Lord Jesus Christ. What do? You respond. Once Jesus touched you with his great power, as he has touched this leper, you need to respond with great humility. But we are told that the leper got excited and he began to tell everybody. Let me close like this, my friends. The question is, what is the spiritual significance of this miracle today? In other words, how do we benefit from this? What does leprosy speak about this morning? Yes, we see it as a physical challenge, but what does it mean to us today? As we read the scripture, leprosy is a picture of great sin and great judgment upon people. It is a perfect picture of the corruption of sin upon people. But also,
These need to remind us of the true nature of the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I mean? It needs to remind us of the reason, the real reason why Jesus came to this world. It was to make the unclean clean. Jesus came to set the captives free. Those who were chained by sin, Jesus came to set them free. He came to liberate people from the power of Satan and the dominion of sin. It reminds us here, all were born in sin, but God sent His Son into the world. That was His greatest mission. Christ's greatest mission was not to heal our bodies, but to heal our souls. Because when Adam sinned, his body is not what became sick. His soul became sick. The new Adam, or the last Adam, came that we may be healed in our souls, so that also our bodies may be healed. So perhaps you are among us. We are like this leper. Maybe you have spiritual guilt. Maybe you have sin in your heart. Maybe you are unclean within you. Will you then consider this morning the power of Jesus to set you free? Will you confess your condition upon the Lord Jesus, to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you tell Him as you are within you? Will you confess your sin to Him, your devastating condition? Will you make it known to Him? Will you seek the Lord while He may still be found? Will you call upon Him while He is still near? Because friends, you need to cry to the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to know that He is the only Savior that can save you. That the only Savior that can snatch you from the garbage of sin unto His marvelous light. You need to bow before Him in humility. You need to show desperation unto the Lord Jesus Christ and plead with Him. Lord, I know You are willing. Will You then touch my life? Touch my soul? Make me whole, O God. You need to experience the power of God. But once you experience the power of God, you need to obey the power of God. You need to obey His word. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust in His word. Obey His commandment. Because He alone has the word. According to Peter, He says, "You alone has the word that gives life." He said, "Go tell no one." Is there anything that the Lord Jesus Christ has been telling you not to do, and you continue to do? Is there anything? You alone knows. All I can tell you this morning, even the tiny little commandments, humanly speaking, needs to be obeyed. So He is willing. Are you willing? Are you willing to come to Him? Are you willing to cast your soul, your burdens upon Him? Are you willing to cry unto Him, "Save me, Lord, lest I die. Cleanse me from within, but also cleanse me from without. Make me whole. Set me free." Let's pray.